From Studio Live in Cumberland, BC, you're listening to the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Chef Jonathan Fraser, and here again I'm with...
Darren Howlett, as always. Tonight we're sitting down with Chris Thrift, currently of the Dolphins. Is it Dolphins Resort?
Dolphins Resort. Yeah, Resort? Angler's Dining Room.
The Angler's Dining Room, right. Dolphins Resort.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Chris, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
And we wanted to have you on. We've had you on the list of people that we've been trying to get on for a while, but always seemed that every time that we were like, hey, we should do a podcast and start going through the names, it's like, oh yeah, you know what, Chris? I'm not going to contact Chris on this one because things are going on. You were either, you'd done a couple of moves in the last few years.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I have to say, the one thing that talking to you just a little while ago, I've never seen you as enthused as where you are now.
Yeah.
Since I've known you, I think you've been working in probably 5 different places.
Yeah.
Always says top dog or near there, and trying to find the one that just sort of reflects you and fits you and you fit. And then all of a sudden it seems like that's where you are.
Yeah. No, yeah. Definitely. Thank you. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's every walk to the property from the car.
Yeah.
There's a smile on my face, and every walk from the property to the cars.
Yeah.
Smile. Like it's.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. Not many people get that in this industry.
No, absolutely not. I've been trying to find that for so long now, but, I see the potential. Massive potential there. They do amazing stuff right now. Great team.
Yeah.
But there's many more things that we can do there.
Yeah. Really?
Can you give us a little history or a little background on the restaurant and the resort itself?
So, again, I don't know the full facts, but restaurant only started about 4 years ago.
Okay.
Before that, it was just straight fishing lodge, and cooks were going into the cabins and cooking for the guests. So whatever they caught, the cooks would go in and prepare 2-3 courses, whatever it may be, which is pretty neat itself. But I think they decided they really wanted to kind of attack the wedding market,
right?
Just being right on the water.
Yeah, it's gorgeous view.
Like it's unreal. So I think they turned the main office into the restaurant, which was a cabin. So the restaurant itself is an old cabin that was rented out, and then it became the office, and now it's our kitchen.
Wow.
Yeah. So they've been just piecing that together for a couple of years, kind of doing great stuff, fumbling through. You know, they've had a great team in the past. Been some challenges, but now we're at a level where we need to kind of get it to a different different staging area, and that's what's exciting. It's just it's awesome. We've put in a brand new banquet kitchen downstairs, which you've seen.
Darren, yeah, I've seen it a couple times.
Love to show you one day. You love to see it. It's just a great spot.
Yeah, really. It's a beautiful kitchen.
Yeah, and that was the old housekeeping department. So that got moved over to build another cabin for that for the housekeeping. And last week just got approved for a brand new kitchen upstairs. So I'm
nice. the one upstairs, that one looks like it's got some challenges.
It's not fully functional. It's kind of got a bit of home counters mixed in with industrial equipment. So
it's a patch job. Slowly growing. As you needed something.
Exactly. And it's worked. It's worked for them, but...
I'm just surprised too that I didn't know that the history of it, that 4 years ago it really didn't even have a kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm amazed because for it to go from nothing to and in all honesty, I mean, the menu that you had, I haven't looked at all of your menus or previous menus, but just the one that you had said, oh, we're just switching to this new menu today, and that was about 2 months back.
Mm-hmm.
That was an impressive menu.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's talk about your menu and give it a let our listeners learn a little bit about what they might be able to enjoy if they head up there. Dishes you're proud of.
It's a small menu. We keep it really real tight. So there's 5 appies, 7 mains, and 4 desserts with features. But so for appies, we got classic chowder, but it's all put together a la minute. So cream's thickened up. Fish is crumbled in, veg is sautéed. It's all kind of done in components, bacon.
Right.
And it's beautiful chowder. And obviously the fish comes from right where they're looking. Like it's right there.
Wow, yeah.
So a nice chowder. We do a salmon rillette.
Yeah.
So put that on a nice big board, beautiful, like a fried caper and mustard seed cream cheese, and make your traditional riette with some creme fraiche chives, right, but then we fold duck fat in with it, kind of give it a bit of richness to it. So it's pretty nice. I'm going to frisée salad.
Yeah.
Just roasted beets and some baby kale and frisée. Yeah. And we're making our own mustards now. So we got a mustard vinaigrette that we put with that. What else do we got? Clams and mussels. That's our biggest one right now. Moulin frites, basically. So it's a big bowl of steamers, big pile of French fries, and some smoked paprika aioli on top.
Nice.
Can't really go wrong with that.
No.
You
don't have to hit every one of them, but
I should know. Because we'll be changing it in a month or two. Your mains are like, we got an awesome ling cod dish, which unfortunately isn't selling. It goes on its hit and misses. It's beautiful, beautiful local ling cod.
I think I've been pretty vocal. At least John at the restaurant would know. I said every time that we have it, ling cod and snapper are my two favorite fish.
Yeah,
I will eat them all the time.
I take them over salmon and halibut and tuna, you know.
Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah. You know what? I just love the fattiness of the fish. Yeah. And it picks up flavors and it's
easy
to work with.
Yeah.
Don't overcook it.
No. You know.
even if you go a little past, you're still safe.
Yeah.
Like with the halibut, you got to nail it. If you fit sits for
halibut,
an extra 2 minutes,
you're done.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah, we got a salmon.
Yeah.
Basically everything went from within the last 2 months to 15% sustainable to all our seafood's 100% sustainable now.
Nice.
That's tough too.
It is. It's tough, especially with the tiger prawns is one of the biggest ones, right?
Right.
Where it's people go, I want my big jumbo prawns on my steak, but
yeah.
You got to tell them they're bathtub prawns. They're from India, Thailand, whatever it may be, and they're not sustainable.
No. And the more that we've moved towards side stripes or spot prawns or what have you, the more I've become exposed to those over the last say 10 years. I used to eat tiger prawns like they were going out of style. And now I don't even enjoy the taste of them anymore.
Absolutely, especially when you've tasted a side stripe done properly or spot prawn. You can't beat that flavor.
Yeah.
Luckily we're able to work with a good price point where the people it's costed out, so we're not robbing anyone, but we have a good price point where can charge $34 for a 7 ounce tenderloin. But I'll guarantee you that is the best tenderloin that we can get because we take that age, the 28 days that they say that it's aged, and we always throw a week or two on it, an extra week or two aged, and just to make sure it's nice and tender and
it's fully developed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
So, unfortunately with the season, where veg is the tough one, but we were lucky enough to catch the last bit of some veg from the fall harvest,
and
we've pickled some to kind of get us through, but we're still kale's local, beets local, like as in the island, we're heading that route now. The next mission will be the banquet menu, which
is
getting worked on right now for being sustainable and
nice.
Yeah.
So how many seats are in the restaurant?
We're at 40.
40.
Yes.
That's a nice size.
Yeah, exactly. It is a beautiful size. It is, it's manageable, with a small team, two servers and a support.
Yeah. How many are in your kitchen
or three,
team?
Three cooks, two or three. Monday right now, I've been a little slower and I've kind of lost a couple apprentices back to school. So we're Monday to Thursday, we're at two.
Right.
But end of the day, we hold the reservation, so every 15-minute block, we don't take more than 6 people.
Right.
So that's from 5 o'clock till 8 o'clock.
Nice.
So it's manageable. So
yeah. I remember actually when the only other restaurant I ever worked at like that was Cormier by the Sea. Mm-hmm. I worked there for 5 years, but we did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They only took 2 reservations, a maximum of 8 people every 15-minute block, and that was, and we would always have this great pace to our night.
Absolutely.
You never got caught unawares. Yeah. You always had this control over it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, it's nice. It's been a while since I've been in that environment. Normally, it's open up the floodgates.
And unleash.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, 9:30 comes.
And watch the printer just get things at you. And you're like, oh, another one. I need 16 of those now.
Yesterday, what was it? Saturday? For anybody that's not in the industry that's listening, it was a whiteout, which means that there's so many white bills up on the rack that the chef is reading from that there's no space left to put a bill. And you'd say, like, I looked over and I'm like, oh, it's a whiteout. And then it was spooling over. And you're like, Connie, who's our front of house manager, Connie, I'm not even going to read these anymore. She's just like, okay, team, so this is what's going to happen. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, that's what happens, right? You just get nailed like that and you roll with it. But yeah, it's funny. I mean, I can't see that happening in your place, and that's got to be a big change just in the way that you approach food, in the way that your staff approaches everything, because you're like, we're not going to ever get hit like that. We don't need to have those safeguards in place.
Yeah.
So like you can just approach food from a different like mentality.
Yes, exactly. Well, as well as with that is we're closed at 12 or 11 during the week, 12
right.
on the weekends. So we don't open for lunch. So
right.
that gives us 5 hours to,
right.
to, yeah. to love the food,
you know, yeah.
to put it all back together,
to put a piece it back together. Right. Put our romance into it. We like to play with it and have fun and, got some students there that are really stoked about learning, and
that's great.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah,
yeah.
That always drags you, or it makes you more. You know, like you want to get more involved.
When absolutely.
You got people who are like, "How do you do this? And what do I do with this?" And,
absolutely.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, it starts you thinking about it. And like, oh,
yeah,
I've forgotten how to do that.
Yeah. Well, and that's just it. And we rotate jobs. We there's no commie jobs where it's just like a student has to just do that. They're just turning vegetables. There's no, you know, the sous chef or chef are just butchering. Like, no, we rotate. If there's the guys come in, if there's something they haven't done on that list, then I make them pick something that you haven't done. So,
oh, that's cool. Yeah.
So now, you know, pretty much everyone can roll out a gnocchi in,
right.
you know, 15 minutes after it comes out of the oven, like they and comfortable.
Yeah.
Like, boom, just get on it and roll it out and it's done. And
oh, that's great.
So they're starting to get into butchering now, which is cool. And
wow.
Yeah. It's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice having that.
Mm-hmm. What, so I think you sort of hinted on it there or touched on it. You're doing seasonal then. You're changing your menu like seasonally.
Yes. Yeah. We're going to, right now, well, up until this last menu change, I believe it was a year.
Right.
So, which is, I mean, as you guys know, it gets stale.
Right.
It gets stale. People, you know, even if you come once a month, you've tried all the menu items and.
That's right. Yeah.
Like it's, yeah. So we want to try three times a year at least. Like four would be ideal.
Right.
But three for sure.
But I mean, three really hit those turns in what's going on, like vegetable wise, garden wise.
Exactly.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, like right now, just stay away from tomatoes.
Yeah. Oh God, what a year for produce, eh?
Oh, I know.
It, you know, and even
what was it today? Celery skyrocketed. Cauliflower is astronomical right now.
Yeah, cauliflower is like $7 a head. I know.
It's $7.99. I went to go buy one in the grocery store the other day. $7.99, and I was like, I can't. I gotta wait it out.
Yeah,
but yeah.
And it's tough because like we're still got some banquets going on and. People still want to see their fruit platters and their veg platters, right? This time of year. And that's just the staples for banquets. But, you know, for me to bring in a case of cauliflower, it's $100. You know, it's unreal.
Yeah.
Any kind of fruit, everyone, you know, wants the cantaloupes and all that and pineapples. Yeah. And it's unreal.
Yeah.
Like $90 for a case of pineapples.
I know.
Like
it's insane.
It's just, and it's just that double whammy right now
absolutely.
Because we're importing from down south and it's all... That the dollar has dropped so much that the price.
Yeah, not only that, but then also they've gone through massive, like all throughout California, all through where we're getting so much of our produce, they're going through, they've had to increase all of their prices even for their standards just because of all of their hardships that are going on. So then you tack on the fact that our dollar's tanked. And it's a double whammy. Like it's hard. I hate to say it. I hate, you know, like I don't like thinking of it in terms like this, but I do also feel like I need to mention that like that is what Edible Valley's about, what we try to promote, you know, the fact that we shouldn't always be relying on outside sources. We are fully capable and we're in a lush, verdant growing valley that, you know, you can grow so much here and we should really be taking advantage of that. And we are, and that's just it. We want to help people
absolutely
harness that as well. Right.
Yeah.
So
no, that's an amazing point because it's as humans, we, we can sustain within our own region. We can.
Yeah.
We don't need to have kiwis. Yeah. We don't need to have bananas right now.
No, we don't.
You know, it's just worldwide. Everyone, it's.
Yeah.
You think you want it or you think you need it, but.
I know, and that's I'm moving more towards that over the last little while, just looking at imported fruit. And I don't even have anything morally against it. I know a lot of people that are in my, like, I guess somewhat of my peers, a lot of people that think like I do in a lot of things, they are against importing foods and what have you. And I'm not. I'm just not. But I'm starting to move towards, even though I'm not against it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to necessarily be a part of it anymore. Yeah. You know, like I'd much rather find, and honestly, being part of Edible Valley has opened up so many doors for me and so many avenues that, just lines of communication with people. So I'm starting to see that there's so many alternatives just around here. And I don't mean just here, like in the Valley, you know, island wide and, you know, across the pond, so to speak, and whatever, like there's an abundance just here, or like,
Well, I like it now. It's becoming affordable.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden it's like, hey, I can get butternut squash from Mexico.
Yeah.
But there's some amazing butternut squash here, and it's all sitting.
Yeah.
In
at yeah, a farmer's, absolutely. We just got a case
waiting. For
we just got a case of butternut squash, locally grown butternut squash just a while ago. And it was a little more expensive. Sure. But just because it's one guy out in his field, you know, it's not a mass conglomerate of farmers but it was a far superior product.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like just far superior. So I like that. So, and I mean, that's the thing, is talking about picking our battles and, you know, I find that groceries are, the grocery bill is getting to be bigger and bigger and you're getting less and less for it. But so now I'm sort of offsetting it. I'm saying, oh, well, I can grow this and this and this with zero to minimal effort. And it offsets the fact that I'm going to pay a tiny bit more here and buy locally sourced, healthier, better tasting ingredients. And it all offsets. I end up paying the same by growing a little bit myself. And
I wish I could grow something. I try every year.
You have the best parsley garden in town, I swear. Every time I need parsley, John and I, on top of working together and owning a business together and doing this together, we all live four houses away from each other, but I have this massive, 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 like the size of a VW van, rosemary bush, and I keep inviting everybody to always come over and get rosemary whenever they need it. And then John's like, "Yeah, you can come over and get parsley whenever you want." And he has like 1, 2, 3, like 4 planter beds that have all been completely overrun with parsley. So it's like, that's all you grow is parsley.
I'm good with the parsley. Awesome. And that was a mistake too. I was like,
I knew it too. I
threw it in there and then all of a sudden it's my whole front garden is just parsley.
So. Yeah. But it's good parsley.
It's worked well for Darren.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so I don't know what's, moving more towards dolphins, what's coming up next? Like you said that you're talking about changing the menu again. So this one, and it may be just that's the clientele, but I noticed that one was really protein heavy. Is that something that you plan to stay, or is that just a wintry thing?
It was a wintry thing. It was kind of, we just needed to get something out there ASAP.
I mean, they
that
all
was mission
amazing.
Mission number one was that, but we definitely want to get into veg options and allergies. We obviously will honor any allergies, but we want to kind of stay away from full protein heavy, and that will be the next mission, a bit more balanced menu.
But are you finding, so my understanding, and I may be wrong, is the restaurant's been and the resort's been somewhat insular in that people knew about it or what have you, or people came because they were fishing. But now you're sort of growing beyond. You're trying to attract locals.
And
I get that feeling. Yeah.
Absolutely. It as of right now, we're not doing a ton of advertising, so it's all word of mouth. And we're.
And for anybody that doesn't know where it is, it's just as you're going to what's the
Painters.
Resort? Painters. Lodge, thank you. Yeah, it's just as on your way to Painters.
Yeah,
essentially, you'll see all the signage for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's word of mouth right now. I've been doing my legwork around Campbell River, trying to see what people think of dolphins. What,
right.
what when I work at Dolphins, like what do they think? And right now it's basically kind of the Valentine's special event, date night kind of thing. That's what people think. And
yeah.
I want to stress that it is
right.
not just that.
Right,
we want walk-ins.
Yeah.
In the past, they've been kind of just solely reservations only kind of thing. And we want walk-ins show up.
You want to get more people in the door.
Yeah, every night we're doing something different. Features, we're playing with something new. Someone has an idea and we put it to test on the feature board. So that's what we want to get away from, that it's a special events place, because it's not. We have one of the nicest West Coast feeling rooms that I've seen in a long time.
I absolutely wholeheartedly agree. Like, that to me just evoked West Coast when I walked through the door.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we just want to embrace that, embrace the property, embrace the fact that the ocean's right there, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful chunk of
it is.
Campbell River that I don't think a lot of people really have seen.
Until I talked to you about you being there, I didn't even know it was there. I truly didn't. And I loved you took me on that little tour and showed me all around. And yeah, I'm absolutely impressed. And again, like I said over and over again, I mean, it really comes down to the menu. The menu was absolutely impressive. And I'm very familiar too with how you cook. Yeah. So as soon as I was reading it, I was picturing your take on all of that. And I'm like, oh my God, this is a great menu.
Thanks, Darren.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and it's within that banquet room, like you saw that banquet room.
Yeah.
Like it's the patio, 100-foot patio on the water.
Yeah.
It doesn't really
it's incomparable
get much
there.
Better than that. It's nice.
Yeah.
Well, I do have a question. How do you feel making the move from Courtney to Campbell River?
So I was wondering when that question was going to come. It's been...
Especially because didn't you, when you came to Atlas, which was years ago, hadn't you, there was a move or two before that, but hadn't you sort of transplanted from Victoria?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Moved up to Courtney from Victoria to be at the Westerly. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. It just, all of a sudden a whole other little anecdotal story came to me. I just forgot. You used to be roommates with Jake.
Yes.
Jake. And you and Jake lived in the apartment I grew up in when I was a little kid.
That's right.
In Bank Street in Victoria.
Right. Yeah.
We lived in the same apartment. I totally forgot about that. That's crazy. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, anyways. That is crazy.
Yeah.
The move.
Right.
It's been tough. It's been great, exciting.
Mm-hmm.
We, just as we were moving, we found out we were having another child, which we've now recently found out it's going to be a baby girl.
Oh, nice.
Congratulations. Yeah,
Hudson gets a little sister.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
We came up to stay at the in-laws until we found a place to buy, and it's been great.
Yeah.
Great. They've helped us out so much, but now we're at that point where we need to find our own space.
Right.
But I've been working a lot, and Jessie being pregnant, now she's back to work a little bit.
Right.
And Hudson. So it's been great, amazing, but tough. It's been the whole circle, you name it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all I can say.
There's a lot going on,
It's been
on,
a
right?
bit of everything, but I enjoy the town. I enjoy the people. I truly believe that it can be they can have a great food scene there right now.
Yeah.
It's lacking. There's a lot of chain restaurants, a lot of, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. It is what it is. People, you know, people want that and the price points. I get that.
Yeah.
But I believe, you know, a town, especially that has a culinary college there, needs to have a better food scene. And and my, you know, personal mission with my team, the whole Dolphins team in general, just want to help with that. And then hopefully maybe try to inspire other places to pop up, and because there is some nice places there, but you know, it's tough. It's not like a Courtney food scene, and
It is. I mean, it's I can imagine that it's got to be tough. I lived in Campbell River for a little bit years ago, and there isn't a culinary sort of just never really has been.
Yeah,
there's always been a couple of key bright places. Spots.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, not, I'm not denouncing or discrediting anyone, but there isn't like a strong culture there.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of, like, there's some great sushi places. There's a lot of great ethnic places there, but there's really, you know,
I find places come and go there.
Yeah,
you find like a great spot there, and, mm-hmm. and then it'll sort of fade out again.
Yeah,
and then,
right.
Then another nice spot will pop up.
Yeah, it's too bad. It's too bad. I really want to, you know, see it grow. And it's tough seeing those students. A lot of them have to commute to Courtney, work at certain places, or work maybe a place where they can't apply what they've learned. And
mm-hmm. Right.
And
That's unfortunate. Well, hopefully, the next few years that sees that change. I mean, it's slow. It was slow coming, I felt, for the Valley to sort of develop that, not necessarily the food culture, but embracing sort of the changing tide in food. You know, the fact that everything is moving towards, you know, fresher, local, what have you. And just hoping that maybe that sort of starts to develop there, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know Cranbrook River's had a few hard years over. They've lost some.
Yeah.
Some major businesses mm-hmm. and stuff there over the years. So,
absolutely.
But it's a place that always grows and goes up and down. And
yeah.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful place. I mean, I just love the water. The water. Yeah, absolutely. The whole
town.
Yeah.
Bordered by water. It's, it's unreal.
Yeah. It's it doesn't happen very often.
No.
Yeah. Well, I think that we've sort of covered everything, unless there was something else that you wanted to add about dolphins or...
If you could just give us some information about if people are interested, how they can get a hold of you. And
absolutely. Well, you call I can't throw out numbers right now. I don't know. That's all right. That was one of my last jobs, is to learn the address and numbers and to get everything else in place. You basically, opening hours are 8 till 11 for breakfast. We've got a fantastic breakfast menu.
Nice.
No reservations needed for breakfast. We don't accept reservations.
Right.
Nice. But for dinner, I mean, they're recommended, but like I said before, just come on down after 5. Right now we're 5 till 8.
And
summer hours will be opening up.
5 days a week? 7 days a week?
7 days a week, yeah. We're open 7 days a week.
There's
lots coming up, lots in the works, lots of cool ideas, lots of fun stuff we want to do.
Yeah.
Different revenue streams we want to try, cooking classes, weekend kind of culinary themed getaways.
Yeah.
There's a lot on the table that we want to try, and banquet menus are the next mission, getting all those tightened up. And
right. I guess one thing worth mentioning too, just because we are talking to, we're talking to really whomever's listening, but, you know, I know that there's quite a few people in Courtney that don't necessarily drive north to go for dinner. It is a resort. Yeah. There are rooms there.
Absolutely.
So make a night of it.
Absolutely. We have 12 cabins on site. Each one has a hot tub.
Nice.
I'm sold.
Half the cabins overlook the water. The other half are kind of situated in trees.
Yeah, they're sort of nestled away in quiet little spots. Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful little log cabins. I recommend going online, checking out scroll through and do the ground view of each cabin.
Oh, wow.
The property itself. And And stay tuned. There's going to be lots of cool stuff.
Well, that's awesome.
We'll have to have you come back here and we can chat about a little bit more.
Anytime, guys.
All right. Well, it's great seeing you. I mean, it's great having you on as a guest, but it's also great that just to see you as a friend.
Absolutely. Again.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Thanks, Chris. Thank you for listening to the Edible Valley podcast. Please feel free to like us or follow us online at ediblevalley.com. And we'd like to just thank for any comments that you send or requests or things you want to learn about to the ediblevalley@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.